Welcome into Time Out with Taylor Rooks, now on the SNY.TV audio network. Very happy to be here, and of course, happy to have you listening. This episode is actually coming to you straight from Gwinnett County, Georgia, and our guest is Mr. Lou Williams. Now, if you listen to this podcast often, you know how proud I am to be from Gwinnett County. I talk about it all the time. And Lou really is a staple here in this area. He played at South Gwinnett High School before being drafted right out of high school by the 76ers. He also played for the Hawks, Raptors, Lakers, now the Rockets. He's also a finalist for Sixth Man of the Year, an award he already won once in 2015. And I think the thing with him is, besides all, you know, his resume on the court, which is very impressive, it's kind of rivaled by his personal life, we shall call it. He's known kind of as a cultural legend. That's really the best way I can put it. He's been mentioned in countless rap songs, rumored to have had two girlfriends act at the same time, which, don't worry, we definitely discuss that. He has tons of unreleased music that he goes back and forth on whether or not to put out. He's also lived a life full of celebrity and grandeur and parties and experiences that most people can't even really relate to. He discusses all of that, plus his thoughts on the one and done rule, being a star in his role, the competitive balance in the NBA, and being robbed at gunpoint. And you know, sometimes when I do interviews, the person is a little reserved and a little wary about the things they want to talk about, but Lou was extremely open about really everything. He completely owns his image and hasn't really let the flashiness of his life change who he is. It was a very, very enlightening and entertaining discussion for me. So be sure to subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on iTunes and SoundCloud by searching Time Out with Taylor Rooks. But for now, here's the words. Okay, Lou Williams.
Hello.
So this is Lou Willville.
It's wonderful. This is headquarters.
This is Lou Willville headquarters.
Yeah.
Where are some more Lou Willville branches?
Some more branches downtown.
Downtown Atlanta?
Yeah, LA, Miami, Houston now. We kind of got like a, it's like a, we adopted it from like the president. You know, like once the president is on the plane, it's called Air Force One.
Wherever you at.
So wherever I'm at, that's Lou Willville.
Okay, so explain to me the basis of Lou Willville. What happens at these various Lou Willville franchises?
It depends on the season, I guess.
Okay.
I guess it depends on the season. I guess, you know, in this particular one, this is the summer spot. So this is the fun. This is the homie hangout. This is where we do all of that. So
I have just so many questions for you. Oh, this podcast, so many things that I just need answered, that you are just like this walking myth.
It's weird.
It really is.
It weirds me out.
How so?
Because I never care like to be like cool or like accepted or popping.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so this weird thing.
Yeah, this happened. Is where we are.
Yeah, it's just where we are.
So, okay, so let's rewind just a little bit. We are in Gwinnett. Shout out Gwinnett, which is why I'm very happy to do this. Yes, Zone 7. Because I try to tell people, like, okay, when they say, where are you from in Georgia? I say Gwinnett County, because we use counties here.
Yeah, and people outside the lines.
Yes, outside the lines. People never understand, like, what I'm saying when I say that. And they also don't understand how dope Gwinnett is.
Super dope.
Like, so many people have come. Oh, yeah. Out of this area.
From so many different things.
Yeah, so give the people some examples of people that are from Zone 7.
First of all, you got countless football players. I can't even name all of them.
Right, yeah, Bradley Roby. There's a whole bunch.
There's tons of football players, but you got Jody Meeks, you got Al Farouq Aminu, you got put me on that list, and then, you know, the Migos are holding it down.
Yes, like, that is what people are saying now. They talk about the Migos. So. Do you know them fairly well? I would assume so.
For sure.
Did you knew, like, because I remember when I was in high school, Migos, like, had music, but they weren't as popping as they are now. Like, did you know them back then?
Because I dabble in the music, and my friends
yes, you
are
do.
Around it, and, you know, they're in those environments. And early on, the Migos was like, yo, we want to like mess with y'all on some music. And I was old and I didn't know no better. So I kind of kept putting it to the side, and you know, the boys blew up. So shout out to them.
And as somebody who does music, tell me kind of how that has come about and how you have seen your music evolve.
I've gotten better over time because I make, at this point, I just make music for myself.
Yeah.
For like my friends and my family.
So you just have stuff that's just cooking and hasn't been released?
I have piles of music that's unreleased. And I got records that's like really, really good. And people are like, yo, you gotta put this out.
You know, when is it happening?
I'm not interested. I'm going to the studio today, actually. But I just record and I record and I record. And if you catch me on the right day, like the people that work with me on my music, like once I start listening, sometimes I'm like, yo, I'm going to release that.
Yeah.
And when I say that, they know they got like a 24-hour window to figure it out before I change my mind. You know, like,
right.
This project I'm working on now, I've probably been working on it for like 2 years. And I've recorded like 70 songs. And then I stopped recording. And then I focus on basketball, focus on everything else. And then.
So is your music like, or is this almost like mixtape type? You're rapping over other beats? Are you making your beats?
I make all original music.
Lil.
Yeah.
Put some of it out. You have to.
I'm thinking about it because it's good. I've spent so much money and time on it. Mm-hmm. At this point, it might be necessary.
What is kind of the message in your music?
I don't have a positive message.
No positive message?
No, I don't have a
positive. You rapping about what goes on at Louisville?
Probably. yeah.
You know what? Let's just, speaking of messages in music, you yourself have been in song or two.
Yeah, I heard about it.
You've heard about it? Yeah. Heard a couple of them? Yeah. I would say most famously Drake's song.
Yeah, that's probably pretty famous.
So we've got Booming Out, South Going Out Like Lou Will, which is true, which we have discussed. Yeah. Six Man Like Lou Will.
Yeah.
Two Girls and They Get Along.
That's what he said.
You cannot conform, nor confirm, nor deny.
At this point, everything is public knowledge. Like, you know.
That was one thing that I kind of feel like just totally solidified this legend of Lou Will.
That's what it is that, and people just, I don't know.
You just know that it's something that's out there.
I heard about it.
You've heard about it. How, hypothetically, how would a person do that? How would you, hypothetically speaking, not you. Disclaimer, this is hypothetical. If someone was to have this, yes.
You have two girlfriends.
And how do you get them to get along?
You find two people. First of all, relationships, this is going to be the fun part of the interview.
It is.
Relationships are...
Let's make sure this is recording. We'll have you scoot up a bit.
You know, people... get into relationships where they kind of like prisoners of each other.
Yeah.
Like you get into a relationship with somebody, you don't want them to go nowhere. You don't want them to know nobody. You don't want them to talk to nobody, be around nobody, have no fun. Like what's the point of that? That's not the point of it. That's not how, in general, I viewed relationships. So I think for a situation like that to work for people is, find people that you're on the same page with, that y'all got the same interests and y'all got the same mindsets and y'all have fun the same type of way. I think that's how you make it work. So it ain't even a situation where everybody got to get along. It's natural. Y'all, if two women are the same person or however you gonna put your situation together, if everybody get along and everybody like the same things, I don't see the problem.
So do you feel like relationships are fluid? Like what? Person A may think is a solid relationship, may not be with person B.
Relationships aren't fluid, but I think they should be. I think everything should flow smoothly, and you shouldn't have to work so hard to be in a relationship with somebody.
Now, do you think, and as obviously hypothetically, do you think that that is how you will feel always in the future? You think there'll come a time where you say, you know what, maybe it should be this way, and it should be the way that it's supposed to be structured to be.
Who knows, man? Today is love.
Yeah, you're just living.
Today is cool.
I mean, I think they're...
I'm 30, and I don't know. I just feel like at this point, I am who I am.
Yeah. I mean, but there is merit to that, that I think that relationships should be freeing in a sense of not...
In marriage?
Yeah.
You believe in marriage?
I believe in the institution of it, yes.
See, I don't believe in the institution of it.
Because you think that things aren't meant to be forever? I think they shouldn't be?
Marriage is a bad business deal.
Really? Explain. Yeah.
I shouldn't have to go to court to prove my love to someone. I got to get a license to say I love somebody?
Yeah.
That's business. You know what that is? Those are fees.
Yeah.
That's taxes. That ain't got nothing to do with love.
Okay, so then do you believe in being with someone forever?
Yes.
Okay.
I definitely believe in commitment. I can be with you 100 years and mm-hmm. be happy and committed and whatever. I don't know if I want to go to the courtroom to legally say that.
Right.
That's the part I don't believe in. I believe in love. I believe in commitment. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not like Scrooge or nothing.
I don't think that. I don't think that.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'm not going to the courtroom because 9 times out of 10, if something go wrong, I gotta come right back to this courtroom.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay out the court.
I'm trying to stay out the court no matter what it is.
No matter what.
You're trying to be out the court.
Good, bad, indifferent. I don't know.
I mean, as girly as it sounds, and I know it sounds girly, yeah. I think that there is something, you know, it's a good thought to think, you know, okay, I'm going to marry my boyfriend and we're going to have kids. We're going to be together forever. But we're also living in a time where you see people get divorced every day and you really don't know people. And
it's a sad time right now.
It really is.
Just society-wise, it's just a sad time. Like, nobody cares about nothing.
Okay, give me some, what do you mean?
Think about it. When you look on Instagram, somebody can...
Don't get me started on Instagram.
Somebody can break their neck. And we're going to find a way to laugh about it. Like, before we can allow that person to mourn or heal anything, we having jokes.
Right.
Like, we're insensitive to everything now. Nobody cares about nothing. It's crazy.
Like, I think it's crazy how something bad will be happening, but people's instinct is to take out their phone and record it, not to jump in and help.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
It's a sad time just with social media. I think it's just everybody has turned into the person that wants to break news.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
How do you think Instagram has kind of shaped your image? And how do you use Instagram?
Instagram tried to shape my image by people just, you know, creating, I guess, whatever idea they wanted to have in my head. So how I use Instagram, I post what I like, I post what I feel. I kind of post things that I stay true to myself in and mm-hmm. kind of take that power back.
Mm-hmm. And then I
learned a lesson not to share a lot of what I'm doing on a daily basis or who
right.
I'm doing it with.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the ways I've learned from Instagram.
And then eventually, like maybe like later this week, you're going to like post music on Instagram, right? So then we can hear.
It probably won't be this week. I know we got it. We got a pretty good structure of what we're trying to do. It's just a matter of whenever I press the button. It could be tonight, for real.
For sure.
We
have the cover art, Lou.
We got cover art, behind the scenes shot. We have, it's basically done. Whenever I'm ready to say it's done, it's done.
Then it's done. Now, as much as I make fun of this mic, when I interviewed Snoop, he was saying when he was coming up, he rapped on this mic. He just rapped it on his computer because it's very clear. Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing.
I think a good microphone is the key, though.
Right. And so I was like, you know what? My blue mic gets the job done. If it worked for Snoop, it can work for me.
Right. Snoop is, and shout out to Snoop. Snoop is on my bucket list.
Really?
I've met Snoop a few times, but he's on my bucket list of somebody I want to like spend a date with.
Yeah, well, no joke. He actually asked me when I was there for like if I knew athletes that want to come on his podcast. So if you're ever in LA, he would love to have you on his podcast.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yes. I actually told him Bradley wanted to come on, so Bradley went on.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
That's I would let him know.
Bucket list of things to do. I want to spend a day with Snoop.
He is honestly like the nicest person.
You kind of just feel that, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like I said, every time I've been around him 3 or 4 times and you know, he makes me feel familiar. So
yeah.
It's cool.
And I think that's one thing that I have kind of realized doing this job is you have people that you've built up in your mind as like legends, as icons, whatever it may be. And sometimes I don't want to meet them because I don't want them to let me down.
You know what? My experiences go that way more than they go positive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like sometimes I'm nervous. Like there's some people that I hold to such a high esteem that I'm like, you know what?
I don't want to do it. That's how
yeah.
I deal with it.
Okay, then.
If I go to a concert, I'm not going to be backstage. I'm probably going to be in a suite or I'm going to be in a crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to enjoy my night how I want.
You want the normal experience.
I relish in the normal experience.
Mm-hmm. Who's been your favorite person you've met?
Favorite person that I've met. That's a good one. Favorite person that I've met that I, like, didn't know.
Yes, that, like, this was your first time, someone you'd built up, like, they lived up to the expectation.
Jay-Z lived up to expectation.
I am so happy to hear that. Most importantly, did you meet Beyonce?
I spoke. I was scared to kind of, like,
I would be,
her,
too.
But I just...
Give a little wave.
Just to say I spoke to Beyonce before.
That is amazing.
Yeah, but I had an opportunity to meet Jay-Z my senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And spent a pretty good amount of time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a cool experience in my life.
Yeah. So your senior year of high school, just in general, was, I'm assuming, a pretty cool experience. Because you're one of the players who went right from high school to the NBA.
Yeah, that's what shaped me from going straight to, from not going to college. Because I was living like a double life. Like I
was
hanging out with like celebrities and then going to school the next day. I was like, there's no way.
And it's like, I ain't trying to be in school.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way I'm going to. It's like, I can't refocus myself to get back in the classroom.
Yeah, like I was just with Jay-Z. Like, y'all are learning algebra.
Nah, like,
and
that's
I...
a literal experience.
Yeah.
Like, I left school. Shout out to Maverick Carter, LeBron.
I love Mav, yes.
So Mav.
Yes.
I got out of school. Mav came and picked me up. Jay had a concert. Went to the concert. It's only me, Mav, Jay-Z, his wife in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the room. So his attention is on me. Like, we are having a conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, and concert's over. I go home, and I'm in school the next morning. So it's like, nah, I can't.
Yeah, like you were done. You were checked out.
Yeah. Like, I can't do this.
So how do you feel about that rule? Do you think people should be able to?
It's a stupid rule. They know it's a stupid rule, but it's just.
The whole one and done idea?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's everybody has to be happy. You mm-hmm. know, and so, you know, I understand.
Do they, though?
I mean, everybody's partners, so you would. You would want everybody to be happy if everybody has these partnerships. You know, I'm sure that the NCAA and the NBA work hand in hand with a lot of things. And, you know, if all of the best players are skipping the NCAA,
then no one's going to watch. Yeah.
It's hard to be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, so I understand it on the business side, but on the hoop side, you know, the guys that have been the flagship athletes for this business have come out of high school.
Right.
And that's facts. LeBron, Kobe's, Kevin Garnett's, these are high school guys.
And I mean, but it's also, I feel like you're putting these students into a situation where you're forcing them to go to school when they don't want to go to school. If you already know what you're going to do, then why? And then you could get injured your year.
It's just a weird, setup. And I would get in so much trouble if I spoke my mind for real.
Okay. But you're just not a fan of the one and done.
I'm not a fan of the one and done. I'm not a fan of how collegiate athletes get treated.
I think athletes should be paid. I'm very vocal about that.
Process.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Just not a fan.
Because, I mean, imagine how different maybe your life would be if you took that one year. You know?
Yeah, because I had friends that I played with all throughout high school, and they took their chances, and it didn't work
for them.
So, you know, that's personal. And then on the flip side, just got flesh and blood. My nephew just went through the whole process, and, you know, he did his 4 years and got his diploma, and that was a very proud moment for our family, but his experience wasn't the most positive.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I seen both sides of it.
So do you ever miss, just in general, like, what a college experience could have been like?
No.
But take playing basketball out of it. Being in college is dope.
All right, but you think being an 18-year-old millionaire is not cooler than frat parties?
You got me there. You got me there.
I don't think I missed that. Listen, first of all, I played with...
I think I would have took being a millionaire.
First of all, I was on the team. I was Allen Iverson teammate.
Yes, which we have to talk about. Oh my gosh.
I didn't miss nothing.
Look,
trust me.
I love AI. He is my phone background. That is my dude.
I talked to him yesterday.
Oh, tell him I said what up.
We speak once a week.
Yes.
Listen, I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, your experience was way better. That's true. I guess it is kind of dumb to say, would you rather be in a dorm or would you rather be in the NBA?
I've been blessed in my career to have some really cool experiences.
You have also, which further goes with this whole legend of Lil Will, you have played in all the good cities.
Yeah.
Who are you paying to get this
situation? I got pretty good fortune when it comes to
You cities, really so. Do. Like, now you're in Houston. Obviously, you've been in L.A. Like, you were in Philly. Like, it's just
every city that everybody want to kind of touch.
Yeah, nobody wants to go to Utah. You know, no one wants to go.
North, south, way up north, west, and now I'm at the bottom. So,
You have been in every place Drake sings about. You've been. Yeah. What is Drake like, by the way?
He cool.
I'm always like, you know, because it was funny, me and my cousin on the way here, I was like, well, now we have to listen to the song since we're going to go interview him. And I'm like, I wouldn't be in a Drake song, but not as a girl. I never want Drake to make a song about me.
Yeah, that probably.
Yeah, that I would never want in a million years, but it's just cool. But you've also been a Meek Mill song. You rapped in the Meek Mill song, right?
I'm a dream chaser.
Yeah, you, wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Like you're a part of that?
I'm part of that.
What is going on? I did not know that.
You probably even pay attention.
Wait, is DeSean Jackson in it too then?
Kinda. He our country cousin. He be around.
I got you. What's he like?
But
and who's a better rapper?
DJ Cool.
You or DeSean?
Oh, I am.
He you for sure?
He is. That's my man, though.
But nice. Athletes, I've never met
athletes
him.
Athletes is me, Deion Waiters. James Harden is a part of our crew.
Really?
Malik Wayne's part of our crew. So.
I need like a crew. I have no crew. I'm just kidding.
You and your cousin, y'all
pulled
up.
Me and my cousin a crew. Yeah, shout out Lexi. We are a crew. Yeah. But yeah, like you have been in, you have dabbled in like every little thing possible.
Yeah, it's just I'm a dabbler.
You are a dabbler.
I'd like to see what sticks and what makes sense.
Okay, well, one thing obviously you dabble in is basketball. I'd be remiss if I have you on here and we don't actually talk about basketball.
That's cool.
One thing that I thought you said was so interesting, you tweeted about it, was obviously right now everybody wants teams to tank. And they're like, we need a new draft pick. We need the team to get better. But why would a player want to tank?
That's because fans don't know.
Yeah, like it really doesn't make sense that a fan would want that. Yeah, or that a player would want to do that.
It don't make sense.
Yeah.
And that's probably what got me traded.
When you said you ain't tanking, LA was like, get him out of here.
That tweet probably did it to me. Looking back, in hindsight.
That is hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. Like it's like thin ice because as a competitor, you want somebody to come in and that's going to help, you mm-hmm. know, take it to the next level. But then it's like,
that's your job.
Yo, you play my position, though. So, I don't know. I mean, I learned that early in this business.
Right.
Like, I think I had a teammate kind of tell me that, and it stuck with me. You know, I was excited about somebody coming to our team back in my Philly days. And he was like, young blood, that's somebody's job.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it was just, that stuck with me. That's the truth. You know, if you D'Angelo Russell or you like Lou Williams or you like Jordan Clarkson and you rooting for a point guard, shooting guard to come to your
mm-hmm.
team, that's interesting.
Yeah, you can't have both.
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I wasn't one of those people rooting for that.
Right.
I just keeping it in high.
So now, and I genuinely don't know like how this necessarily works, but and I'm not asking you to name teams or anything like that, but is there a time where it's insinuated that a team wants to lose or how does that work?
No, I can't say that. I don't think it's insinuated. I think energy is just something that picks up.
Yeah.
You know, if you're hearing it and you're feeling it, then I think you kind of just give in to that energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you just know.
Yeah.
Nobody comes in and say, yeah, we got to lose.
Lose this one. Let's drop this one.
Yeah, I've never heard a coach or I've never been a part of a staff that prepares for a game to lose. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But I think I know I've been on teams where the energy is kind of off and it's like, yeah.
I see what's happening here.
Yeah.
Do you think if you ever coached, you could do that? Like that you could coach to lose?
In the NBA.
Really? Time. It's completely ruled out?
Completely ruled out. Pros don't listen.
Pros don't listen and they don't play defense.
So, I probably, if I did coach, I probably would coach some kids.
Yeah.
Like up into high school.
So. Okay. And Gwinnett? Did you coach at South Gwinnett?
Yeah. Well, if I'm here.
How often do you go back, by the way?
That's where I work out.
Okay. So you're always there.
Yeah. I'm over there four times a week.
Gotcha. Now, another
NBA. I never see students, but I'm over there.
But you go.
Yeah.
You in there. A ghost. Another NBA question I have, and I was tweeting about this the other day. Do you think that there is a clear, like, competitive imbalance in the NBA?
Not across the board.
But team-wise. Like, this is kind of what I was saying.
Is Golden State, is that doing too much?
No, like...
Yeah, they're doing too much.
Yeah, like, because as somebody who was a big Laker fan, why did the Chris Paul trade get blocked and they get to have a super team? That's what I want to know. Because you know how much that would have changed the landscape of the NBA if that Chris Paul trade went through?
I get it. And I'm with you because they'd have had a pretty solid team.
For sure.
Super team has been going on forever.
And I agree with that. I do.
But come on, man. Like, that can't even be fun.
Yeah. I think...
Like, if you're a certain person over there,
mm-hmm.
Like, are you really getting the satisfaction you was looking for?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be a bad comparison because I'd be comparing the rest of us to kids. But it's just like, how easy do you want it?
Yeah. But I think that it also goes to saying that people play for a ring. And
that's cool. That's cool, but like, how easy do you want it?
So if you were in the situation that you could go to Golden State,
right,
would
now,
you go?
I'm different.
But would you go?
I'm just a six man.
Would you go? Six man, like Lou.
I'm different. You know what I'm saying? I'm a role player. I'm a backup dancer.
But you didn't answer the question.
I'm a role player. And I'm a, right now? Like
yes.
Tonight?
Like next season. You get more money and you get to go to Golden State. And there's obviously a good chance you're playing in the finals. You're telling me you wouldn't go.
Absolutely, I would. Absolutely.
And that's my thing. Again, I don't see an issue with that.
My circumstances are different.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't willingly go to a team with like, Eric Gordon there.
Yeah, which, by the way, another six-man of the year finalist. Congrats to all of you.
Thank you. So, like, you know, like, that's competitive.
Right.
It's competitive. Like if I'm looking and I'm a free agent and I'm looking back and I'm looking at teams, the teams that have guys like me aren't probably at the top of my list.
Yeah.
Now obviously like when I got to Houston and I love the staff and the atmosphere and my teammates and everything, I'm like, oh, this is dope. Like me and E, like, we can do this together.
Yeah.
You know, like he's a very selfless person. I'm a very selfless person. We just like, hey, put everything in the pot. Whoever get what out of it,
mm-hmm.
we rolling.
Yeah.
But you might not go to a team like that. KD went to a team that's cool with that.
Right.
But he might go to a team that like, no, bro.
Yeah, like it worked for him.
It worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's would I? Yes. But the circumstances are different. So, I don't know.
But that goes back to...
Even people give LeBron a lot of flack for going to Miami. But people forget, like, Miami missed the playoffs the year before that.
That is true.
So... That wasn't a super team.
Yeah.
It'll take one
piece that makes it a super team.
Yeah, they didn't even make the playoffs that year.
But I think the issue I have with it a little bit, and going back to Kevin Durant for a second, is the way that fans attacked him for it is what made me say, you know what, people should be able to do what they want to do.
I think they only attacked him because of the particular team. I don't think they would attack him because he was leaving. I think they attacked
him. I truly
him.
Think fans are crazy and do.
I mean, that too.
Yeah.
That too. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn and I just don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm cool with that. But
and I'm cool with that.
OKC is like, I don't get that from their fan base.
Yeah.
They were up 3-1 against that team.
Yeah.
And then they beat you and then you go over there. And, you know, from a fan's point of view, that's probably what's stinging more than him leaving. I think he could have went anywhere and he'd be super celebrated in OKC like he should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like he made that him along with Russ, they made Oklahoma City one of the best teams in the NBA. Their fans are behind them. They have a wonderful fan base. I think they would have supported him.
But
in my opinion,
I might not know because I get the sense that fans feel like you owe them something. And
of course they feel like that. Yeah. Because they buy tickets. So they think they owe you. They think they own you.
But do you think you owe that city? Like, hell because no. This is the thing. Well, teams, you're expendable to teams. You're really expendable to fans.
Listen, I'm not saying KD made the wrong decision.
Right. No, I know you're
not. I'm not him. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know what he was chasing in his mind.
Right.
I'm speaking as a competitor.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Competitively.
Like you want to win.
Yeah, competitively, yeah. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't do it like that. A lot of guys wouldn't do it like that, competitively. But at the end of the day, you don't know what he's going through, what he's feeling in his mind when he go home.
Exactly, and that's the thing.
Might just want a change of scenery. He might just watch TV and just fell in love with how they do things. Mm-hmm. You never know what factors into his decision. That's his decision to make.
Right. For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He probably happy. He probably super happy.
I'm sure. He's playing amazing. Team's great. Like.
But as competitors, we like to win too.
Yeah. Okay. So my question for you: what is like importance for you? Like, how high is getting a ring? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's really high on my list.
Okay.
But I'll be honest, it's not the end all be all for me.
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
It's not. It's like. I don't think that's gonna validate my career. I feel like at this point, my career is validated. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm happy with what I was able to carve out for myself.
Yeah.
A ring will be the icing on the cake, but I don't feel like it's the end all be all.
How do you feel about people that almost say a player like isn't great because they don't have a ring? Like AI, for example. I hate when people say that.
Can't say
it
that.
Really bothers me because AI changed.
It's gonna be a lot of great players.
Yeah.
That's not gonna get rings because of Golden State or because of LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be, that's just how it is. There's a lot of great players that played back in the day that Jordan was stopping them from getting rings.
Yeah.
So they were still great players, but they got to go through some real walls. Mm-hmm. Like, AI had to go through a Kobe Prime wall with Shaq.
Right. That is very true.
That's a big ass
wall. That is a big wall.
You know what I'm saying?
That is huge. Yeah. If you were Adam Silver,
yeah.
What would you change?
About?
The NBA. Whatever you want to change.
If I was Adam Silver, what would I change about the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely shorten the first round of the playoffs, and I would definitely cut the preseason shorter.
You would shorten the first round?
Yeah, 7 games for the first round? Come on, man.
So you just do 5 or you do 3?
Give me 5.
Really? Why, though?
How many sweeps did you see this year?
That's true. But you want to give him a chance to, if you can be down 3-1, you to get rid of that.
How many sweeps did we see? So, yeah. And the only thing I'm saying is that first round is a long. I mean, it's first of all, you might play Sunday, then don't play again until Wednesday.
That's true.
So, we might as well cut it down.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Everyone was freaking out a little bit because there was going to be an issue if Cleveland would have swept and Golden State would have swept. There was a big possibility there'd be no games Memorial Day weekend. And that screws the NBA. And it's because of sweeps. But this is my issue, and tell me what you think of this. I don't think that at this time, there should be no playoff where this is the level of play.
What level of play?
Meaning, like, in the playoffs, Boston was embarrassed. You shouldn't be embarrassed in the playoffs. It's the playoffs. And not only that, it is the conference finals.
It happens, though.
But does it?
It do. Like,
but in the conference finals.
So what do y'all want? Y'all can't say LeBron is dominant all year. Then when he dominate.
No, it's not. It's not a LeBron. I don't think that LeBron should calm down. I think everyone else needs to get better.
Storylines, though.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
You can say
the Spurs just got swept. You gonna tell me that the Spurs didn't fight?
No, they did fight. Completely they fought. They also lost Kawhi, but so I'm saying...
What? I mean, they beat us by 40 without Kawhi. So, what storyline do you want?
No, like,
you
I don't think that lines. In any way LeBron should be punished for being great. If anything, he needs to be praised for being great. But what I'm saying is, it should be everyone else needs to try and match it. It's not a LeBron issue. I think it's an everyone else issue.
They got to pay attention to the whole play, though. You got to pay attention to the whole play. Boston goes 7 games, LeBron in their home chilling. You get beat by 40 because they clearly fresher.
Do you think people underestimate that?
Yeah, people don't understand it. They just think we just running
here. Running around.
That's how I think. Like, all of that factors in. So that got to be part of what you watching, too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's true. If you're really a fan, mm-hmm. then sit there and dissect it, and don't dissect it like that's it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Boston is the number one seed. However, like, they stole the number one seed. They was the number one seed for what, a week?
Yeah.
Out of a 6-month season, they was the number one seed.
It came down to like the, yeah. Those final, like, couple games.
So, LeBron and them still, they are who we thought they were.
Yeah, they are who they
were. So, when they show you that, yeah. you can't blame Boston.
But no, but that's the thing, and that's what I'm saying.
You got to give a lot of credit to Boston, the fight that they putting up with what their leader going through.
Yeah.
Like,
which that was such a powerful moment to watch Isaiah Thomas play.
I couldn't have played that game.
I mean, it was amazing.
The relationship I got with my sister, I couldn't have played that game.
Yeah. But that's why what he did was just so...
It's incredible, man.
So much strength. It's like, incredible. I was rooting for him so much throughout that game and throughout the entire series. Like, dude, it was just, man, a super powerful moment.
Strong dude.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I agree. And I was saying, like, LeBron isn't playing to make everyone else feel better. That's not his job.
Right.
His job isn't, you know, to make the game close.
It's just sometimes... Sometimes you just get your ass whooped, man.
That is true. That is very true.
It just happens.
Okay, so last NBA question I have for you as we kind of wind this down is, so being a sixth man, and as you called it, you know, being a role player, mm-hmm. I think that doing that takes its own certain kind of type of moxie to say, like, this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be in the league. Because everyone's trying to be the star.
Yeah, I got over that a long time ago.
Yeah, and how did you get over that?
I'd be a star in your role.
I like it.
Be a star in your role. Everybody can't, you know, I can't wake up I can't do my job trying to be James.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta be who we need me to be for this whole thing to move.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's a very key cog in the machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's only a handful of us. When you think six men, you only gonna think a few names.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like we have our own thing.
Yeah.
You know, we it's a game inside of a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when teams play their starting fives and then your six man come in against a Houston six man, you got to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a game inside a game. So I learned years ago, just star in my role.
Mm-hmm.
Star in your role. You know, I led teams in scoring off the bench. Just mm-hmm. because you don't get the minutes or you're not starting and this and that don't mean you can't go out there and be effective and do your job.
Yeah.
Learned that years ago.
But did you struggle with it initially?
Now, you know why I didn't struggle with it? Because of who I was backing up. Mm-hmm. I think that's what trained my mind.
Yeah, you got lucky.
Yeah, if I was backing up one of my peers at the time, mm-hmm. I probably wasn't going for that.
Yeah, okay. And what is AI like?
He cool.
Is he? That's somebody who, if I met, he like lives up to what I think in my head.
What you think in your head?
I just think he is like the dopest person to ever live because it's everything he did for the culture.
You know what? You got to get to know him.
But like, is he nice? Like, you know, like,
yeah,
I wouldn't be like, oh man, he's the worst man I've ever met.
No, he's cool. He's a person.
An acquired taste.
You probably just need to be familiar with before you approach him too much.
Yeah. No, I got you. Yeah. I got you. And you know what? Now that we're on the chat, I had a question I want to ask you because I read this and I'm like, wait a second. Is this true? So you're clearly, and I think most people would say you're a pretty smooth person, and I feel like you could probably talk your way into or out of anything.
Yeah.
That.
I do.
You do? That in like, either 2010 or 2011.
Yeah, he tried to rob me, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, okay, so what I read was you were in your car, somebody came up to your car and tried to rob you at gunpoint.
Yeah.
And you talked him out of killing you, essentially.
I didn't talk him out of killing me.
He okay, so what did
out of it.
You just listen? You listened him out of it.
Yeah, and once he said what he said, I came up with a solution, but I didn't talk him out of it. I didn't tell him, like, hey, man, wait. Like,
yeah.
So the story is, I was at the barbershop. I get my hair cut.
You have very nice hair, by the way. Very pretty hair.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's like this. None of my siblings.
You little Indian or something?
I don't know why. But anyways, I was at the barbershop. I get my hair cut in the hood, 22nd Indiana, North Philly. My security was with me at the barbershop. We leave the barbershop. I'm at the light. He's in the car behind me. He called me. He said, you good? I said, yeah, I'm straight. He said, all right, cool.
I watched him do a U-turn behind me, pull off. When I watched him do a U-turn, I reached down, started playing on my phone. I'm sitting at the light. Mm-hmm. Looking at my phone, not paying attention. I hear a knock on my window. I look up, dude got the gun. I don't know why I didn't get out the car.
Wait, big gun or small gun? Because that motion was... okay. I'm like, oh, God, he had a machine gun.
No, he had a little
pistol. Like a Glock or something. Yeah, okay.
Like a little pistol on him. So I should have got out of the car, but instinctively I just rolled the window down.
Wait, you rolled the window down when you saw the gun?
Yeah, that's like... This shit moving fast, man.
Oh, my God.
It's moving fast. I decided to roll the window down. When I rolled the window down, he told me to get out the car. And when we made eye contact, he said, "Damn, Lou, I can't even do it to you." He talked to somebody. He just said, "Damn, Lou, I can't even do it to you." And so the next thing he said was, "Man, as much as you do for the city, as much as you do for my neighborhood, I can't do that. I can't even do you like that." And so what ended up happening was, and so in North Philly, like, again, I am a dream chaser. I've known Meek before the world knew Meek. Like, our relationship's 10 years deep now. You know what I'm saying? So we used to, when it was cold out, we was giving out coats and sweaters and gloves and, you know, and we doing this out of pocket. You know, like, we going to Brothers and Coke Factory ourselves.
Yeah.
Clearing racks out.
Oh, my God.
Pulling up in U-Haul trucks.
Yeah.
Passing stuff out.
That's great.
One of the songs, he talking to the DA, "How did DA hate me when me and Lou just took 20 racks and put coats on the kids' backs when it's 30 degrees outside? Like, how can you hate me when I do that?" So we used to do these things. In the summertime, we do the camps, pull up with the ice cream trucks, giving out the ice cream. Like, that was just a community that embraced me, and I embraced them back. This dude happened to be from that community. I was in that community. And he just said, "I couldn't do it to you." Then he just explained, like, mind you, all this is like a 30-second window.
Yeah.
I'm slowing it down.
Oh, my gosh.
So he like, "I just got out of jail, man. I'm out here hurting. I'm hungry. All I got is this gun." I'm just looking around. So I'm like, "Bro, it's a McDonald's right there, bro. If you run to the McDonald's, I will pull in. And I will buy you anything you want to eat." So it wasn't like he robbed me, got in the car, and then we just pulled up at McDonald's like we was home.
Like y'all was best buddies.
Yeah, it didn't go like that. I'm like, "Bro, I don't have cash on me, bro. But if you go in McDonald's, I will swipe my card.
And buy you whatever. Buy you
whatever." And that's what I did. And so that's how I went.
And then, like, you guys just kind of, like, talked through it. Like, what was that meal like?
I went in. Bought him his food, and we kind of just sat there and chopped it up. He was just like, I'm down and out here. He's like, "I'm just down and out." I'm just like, "Bro, I get it, but this ain't the way."
Right.
You know, and by that point, my security had pulled back up to the McDonald's because I hit him like, "Yo."
Yo, like someone just pulled a gun on me.
So by this time, my man pulled back up, and so I'm just like, "Bro, this ain't it." And I told him good luck, and I got out of there. That was it.
So, like, what is going through your head?
I ain't have time to think. I didn't have time to think. I didn't think about nothing. I never even got scared. It was too fast.
Well, being that you rolled the window down.
Yeah, it was too fast because I don't have a lot of experiences where people just got guns on me. So
right. I mean, how is that something you think about often, or are you just kind of like, it's something that happened in my life?
And yeah, I just chalk it up. But
chalk it up to the game.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what's funny? Like, my best friend, Kenny, he reminds me of so much cool stuff that we've done in our lives. Like, I just don't, like, I have fun. I have my day. Then I just wake up and I'm on to the next one.
But do you ever feel like, you know, that things can become so normal that you almost forget to cherish, like...
That's probably where I'm at. Like, yeah. I go do stuff that's, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And I just be sitting there. And I have to remind myself, like, yo, you're supposed to be having fun right now.
Yeah, like...
Sometimes you kind of, it becomes routine.
But that's sad sometimes. Like, there's this... And there's a Childish Gambino song when he's like, "You don't take pictures when you're rich, you just see it again." But I think that's, like, kind of sad.
I agree. I've been working on trying to have fun again.
Yeah. I mean, you have Lou Willville, so...
Yeah, but I'm here every day.
That is true.
You know, so sometimes when it's a party, I might go home and go to sleep.
What?
Straight up. You just.
Can you confirm or deny this? Confirm. Okay. I believe you.
I just did it.
So you're just sleeping with people in the pool splashing around?
I'm going to sleep. It's under control.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I just want your life for like a week. I couldn't handle it for like any more than a week, not even a week and a day.
Come hang out. I'll get you in some trouble.
Give me some trouble. All right, let's see what the Twitter question's looking like.
They just gonna ask me about stuff that you already asked about.
Yeah, someone said ask him to give us game and get two women to be sister wives. Already
game,
did.
I got the game.
Yeah. Already. Hold on, let's see. Someone said, I've got some legendary off-the-court questions soon come.
Well, look, it's laid back around here, right?
So it is. Like, crazy? And that is something I will admit. Oh, yeah, retweet it because your fans might have some more questions after. That is one thing I will say is I thought you were going to be, like, crazier than you are. Not crazier, like, in your mind, but crazy, like, wild. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm not wild.
Not at all. Like, you're very chill. I thought you were, like, you were going to just, like, act like a movie. Like, for example, when I went to L.A.
I wish I had that in my personality. I need more of that in my personality.
You probably do.
You know how much money I could have made in the last couple of years if I had more bravado in my personality?
Yeah.
Like, if I was Nick Young.
I interviewed him when I went to L.A.
Can you imagine the money?
That man is crazy.
He's one of my favorites.
I love him, though. His interview was great.
He's one of my favorites. Like, we were teammates, so we couldn't take anything seriously.
Yeah.
He's just funny. So, could you imagine, you interviewed him, you spent time.
Yes.
If I had his personality.
It was him and me.
Listen, if I had that, I would have made so much bread. I'd be on TV. I'd be popping.
Yes. No, I mean, he was great. He really was. Do you miss being able to play with him?
Hell no. Nah. He
you're like, I was ready to go.
He know it. He know it. And if he hear me say that, he's going to bust out. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
But that's the thing. And that is one of the reasons I like doing the podcast is, A, I've been able to meet, like, some really cool people I never thought, like, I would. But then you see that most of the time they're not like you think, and it's mostly because they're better.
That's perfect for you.
Yeah, it's so fun. I love it. Because, I mean, I like seeing the good in people and, like, being able to have real conversations. But not conversations that are meant to, like, you know, be clickbait or, like, meant to make a headline. Like, I want people to be able to come on and just, like, be chill and just talk, have a normal conversation. So that's been one of the great things. Oh, question about Nick, actually. What's going on with you and Nick Young, and did he pay you your money?
Yeah, he gave me my money.
What was that bet about? Was it secret? Like, did y'all ever say what it was?
We gamble. We play cards.
Spades?
Nah, this is a game called Bourette. He owed me a little money. I ain't gonna say how much, but it can change some lives.
So, could it?
Yeah.
Get some people through college?
And he owed me some money. I got traded. He acted like he wasn't gonna pay me.
Like, this money is still on the table.
He was acting like he wasn't gonna pay me. And so, well, I got traded to Houston. I was staying at the Four Seasons. We had to play the Lakers 2 weeks later. They were staying at the Four Seasons. You know, I'm still basically a part of the team. They just traded me. So I just text our travel coordinator and I asked him, like, yeah, what room is Nick in? He told me the room. I went and knocked on his door. He gave me my money.
So you're a good card player.
That day you were. Yeah.
Well, I have taken up too much of your time, so I'm going to ask you one more question that someone just asked. We kind of talked about this. Someone asked, with being such a star quality athlete, how'd you adapt to becoming a sixth man? So I will give you this one. Where do you see the Rockets going next year, and where should they improve going into the offseason? I think that's appropriate.
Yes. I think we'll be a better team. You know, I think we, I don't want to say overachieved, but we did a lot of things that wasn't expected.
Yeah.
Just from the beginning of the season when I wasn't there, you know, this being Coach D'Antoni's first year, this being James' first year as a point guard, you know, you had so many different moving parts, and then, you know, you bring me in at the tail end and you're kind of trying to work all of these things in. And we put together a pretty good run. We ran into a dead end at the end. You know, before that, to be the first year to have all of these pieces together, I think the future is bright for us. I think we can get I think we can get some bigger pieces. But I always think that because I'm a guard, so I never say, like, we need another guard.
We need every other position besides Ryan. Yeah, give me a center.
But no, I think we have high quality guard play, and we got quality guys at the 4 and 5 positions, but I don't think one more guy would hurt.
Nice. Well, Lou, you were a pleasure.
Thank you.
Such quality conversation.
I was in a movie.
Yeah, you were in a movie, but it was great. It was like a TV show. Slow, but it gets the job done. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for inviting me to Louisville. Life is forever changed. Thanks so much.
There you have it, Lou Williams. He continues to live that very legendary lifestyle, and I'm thankful he gave us all a little bitty peek into it. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, and leave a review. I'm Taylor Brooks. Until the next.